So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This is WTIC Pet Talk. Today, Dr. Andrea Dennis from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital takes your pet health questions. Whether you have a dog, cat, or hamster, this is a show for you and your best friend. Call in now at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. And now, Pet Talk.
Good afternoon, and it is a gorgeous afternoon. Hi there, I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis. I am live here taking phone calls. Any questions you have, please send them my way. I'm from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital, and I've been away for a little bit. It was nice seeing Tom again, my producer. It's, sometimes in life things happen, and we've had some family medical issues that occurred, but, I needed to step away for a little bit and was really very pleased and grateful to the Odyssey people. We had some Lori Fast filled in a weekend or two, and then they allowed us to run some of the best shows that we've had in the past. So I do appreciate your patience that we haven't been in the studio for a little bit, but let's make up for some lost time. If you have any kind of thoughts or concerns about your pets, give me a call. I would love to talk to you, as many individuals as possible, answer as many questions, or even just have a little dialogue about something that concerns you, something that you're seeing people are doing with their pets, or maybe even a family member yourselves that you just feel maybe are not. There has to be a better way that maybe people are doing things, because it's all about education. And that's why for well over a decade plus, come in on Saturday afternoons to help educate you, help educate people that you know, because who is the best advocate of your pets? It's you. And they can't speak for themselves. We need to kind of be their eyes and ears and communicate to where they can get help. So that's what we're all about. So give me a call here at 800-966-9842 or 860-522-9842. And of course, 9842 stands for WTIC. So as I said, I'm from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital. We, even with everything going on in, on the personal side of things, continue to work very hard at the hospital. People are continuing to adopt pets. I drove by a pet store today and I saw a sign that there is an adoption, an event going on today. So just a reminder that if you're thinking about doing so and you drive by a sign like I did today, and then you're making a U-turn and go into the driveway, think about what you're doing. Make sure that the type of pet that you have is going to fit in very well with your lifestyle. You know, this is a 10-year, 12-year, 15-year commitment many times. And yes, they give us incredible amount of company. They're one of the best things in our lives. But of course, I'm impartial in that case. But do just think it through. Yes, we want to help these pets that need homes. But at the same time, we have to also make sure that your quality of life is only improved. Let's be a little bit selfish, because that's how our pet and animal bond really tends to, our human-animal pet bond tends to be the strongest, is that everybody is happy on both sides. Now, this weekend, there are lots of activities going on, lots of things that are happening outdoors. Even though technically the 4th of July has passed this week, it is still a season of fireworks. I think when I was walking into I was just listening to the news as I was setting up here in the studio and talking about New London is having their sale fest, I believe. And tonight they're going to have fireworks. And I know I live in the town of Simsbury, and we have the Hartford Symphony Talcott Mountain Series, which is a beautiful music festival that happens almost every Friday in July. And there's usually some fireworks that are associated with it. those baseball fans, you that attend, you know, some of the minor league games that we have in the state of Connecticut, some nights they have fireworks. So even though the 4th is passed, we still have to be concerned about our pets with fireworks. And they're just a innate fear for some of them. Now, some dogs and cats, absolutely no problem. But again, those of you that just, this may be your first season with having some of these pets in your home, this is a day that you kind of have to really be extra diligent the night or the evening that fireworks are going to go off in a town near you. And the other thing, too, is that I have seen people just more fireworks in people's backyards than ever before, too. I don't feel comfortable around at home fireworks. That's just my own comfort level. But I don't know if it's easier to access them, but I just feel like I hear it almost every weekend. Somebody's lighting fireworks and they're going off. So this does affect our pets. And, you know, and they can react differently, like I said, to fireworks, just as certain people do. I absolutely love them when they're being put on by a professional. And some aren't upset at all. Others just can get hurt. Absolutely. They hurt themselves because they panic. And they'll actually jump through closed windows. They'll bolt through doors. And they want to get away from the terrifying noise and lights. So your pets, first of all, I would not bring them to a fireworks event. Do not bring them to the park. It is best if you do keep them home. And again, if you feel that you have a pet that is going to panic through this, or you've seen them react when you're home, then you want to make sure if you're going to go out to fireworks, you want to make sure that you set them up in a nice situation where they're going to be safe. My dog, I can speak from experience, my dog Jack, he's 75 pounds, but he is afraid of fireworks. He's afraid of thunder, but he has kind of figured out what works out best for him. We do not medicate him. I tried one of those thunder shirts for him. I don't think it made much of a difference, but some of you may say, no, it does help my pet. But we have a crate down in a finished basement, and we leave the door kind of ajar. It's not locked. And when he feels the need that he likes to be in the basement, when he hears these scary sounds, he just kind of bangs on the door. The door opens, he walks in, and then it closes just enough so that he feels very comfortable. And other times he wants to be behind a reclining chair. That's where his safe place is. But the main thing is, some dogs and cats also want to go in a tub. They want to go in a bathroom. Don't pull them out. Let them find their safe place, and that will make a huge difference. If you have people coming in and out of your house, and you've got these noises going on with fireworks or thunderstorms, keep your cats and your dogs in a secure area so you don't want them running out and you don't want them bolting. Some cats might even be better off in their crate or their carrier. Some of the things that people will ask me about often is, what about some of these products, some of these things that, you know, that are drug-free remedies, some things that are like holistic? And those synthetic pheromone sprays, they can be helpful. I tell people they will do no harm. In cats, many of you may have heard of something called Feel-Away. And you can either put it in as a spray inside the carrier, or sometimes they even have it where it's a plug-in. In dogs, something called Adaptil. Many people feel that that helps their pets. And it imitates the properties or the natural pheromones of the lactating female, and that which always gives kittens and puppies a sense of well-being and calmness. So for some, that may work. Another herbal relaxant is something called Composure, and it comes in chews and liquid. If it's something that the flashing and the lights are going on, sometimes closing the curtains can help them too, to help reduce some of that visual stimulation. I will play some calming music to kind of reduce the stress for our dog personally. I have a cat as well, and she's oblivious. She does not care about the sounds. She's very comfortable. Some people even put earmuffs on their dogs. I find that it's almost like some dogs that just don't tolerate the booties on their feet when people want to put those on. Most dogs don't want anything like that on their ears. But those are some of the things that you can do that are easy, and it's not going to do any harm. Also, you can kind of classically kind of counter condition them by giving them treats and offer them just their favorite toys. Now, if they don't want the treat and they don't want the toys, then leave it alone. But if you can kind of give them something else to think about, that's also something that can work. If you feel none of these things work, you can actually go ahead and speak with your veterinarian. There are some prescription medications I have prescribed, many others have prescribed, and just to kind of try to keep your pets from being very nervous around these loud noises. But talk to your veterinarian, and not all medications are going to be safe and for your pet. So don't use any of your human medications for your pets. And I think so we have got somebody that wants to give us a call. Maybe they're going to talk about those their medications they're giving their pets. But you don't never ever use any human medications because the dosages really can be so different. And some of these will be something called clomipropine. We've also have trazodone tends to work very well, and it just tends to reduce the serotonin level in these dogs. And I have had some very sick, very, very happy owners that just feel their pets are doing so much better when they're on those. So kind of prepare ahead of time. Try not to, if you've got fireworks happening tonight, this is not the best day to call your veterinarian. But, you know, if you know something like I think another town, usually Newington has something on in July as well, that you know, call ahead and your veterinary office will be very, very happy to add something to you and your dog and cat's quality of life. So what I'm going to do is take a quick break, and then we're going to talk to Dave, who has something else he'd like to add about fireworks. Again, you know, those of you that don't have pets that don't are oblivious to these things, you think, well, what's the big deal? But it is a big deal. The stress that people go through and their pets go through, and also the fact that something, whatever we can do to try to avoid it, is ideal. So we're going to be back with more Pet Talk from a second, and we'll talk to Dave.
Loading up and living right. Fast cars on a summer night. Breeze is warm and the moon is bright. There's endless summer. Boogie boards and digging holes. Sand castles and fishing poles. What a way to save my soul, this endless summer. Now we're out a little getaway.
Yeah, it feels like an endless summer, right? We've had gorgeous weather almost every weekend. And let's hope it lasts like this. I can do without the heat and humidity when it gets like 95 degrees. Welcome back to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis. And part of summer is always has to do with some loud noises, whether it's thunderstorms and fireworks. We were talking about just before the break, and there are things that we can do to keep our guys comfortable, keep them as relaxed as possible. We can't take away their fear, but this is there are things that we can do to make them feel a little bit better. And Dave, thank you for calling in. You've got something else that I missed, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. What my wife actually figured out is our German Shorthair pointer that for years had been running into a master closet when like thunder or any fireworks went on, but shaking crazy.
Right.
Scared.
Yeah.
And what she did was bought a noise machine with a loud fan noise or wind in the room, and he doesn't even shake anymore. He runs into that room, he calms right down and doesn't hear anything else but the noise machine, and it's been working great ever since.
That's an excellent idea. You know, I think sometimes that's even, and you kind of put it up on the loud setting,
yes,
so that it's
loud as it'll go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And he's sort of comfortable with that sound, and is not really concentrated with any outside noises as much as he ever was before, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So it certainly takes the stress away. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think someone else is calling with some thoughts too on this, but you know what? So, just a little clarification. So you still let him go in the closet. So that's his safe place, but you
that's
provide. Okay.
Yeah. And I put a bed in there for him, and he only uses that spot when he feels really uncomfortable.
Oh.
And I leave it open for him, and it works great. You know what I mean?
I love it. I love it. And I think, again, that's why I appreciate calls like this, because this is, it kind of verifies some of the things that we're talking about. Let them go where they want to go. And
I couldn't wait to call in and say it. When you said let them go where they want, I'm like, yes.
Dave, you're doing it. Yeah, you're doing everything the right way. But this is really helpful. And you know, I sleep with a sound machine too. I just like that little low level. That's how I even travel with it, hotel rooms.
Sure.
So you know, I have it in my home, but I've never thought about using it for my dog if I needed
it's
to.
Great. Yeah.
Well, listen, let's get through this summer. And do you do it with thunderstorms too? That's what
absolutely.
Yeah.
It works just as great. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I appreciate the input so much. Thank you very much.
Have a good time.
You too. We do. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now. Oh my goodness, that is excellent. I think that's just such a fabulous, you know, kind of consideration. And those things are not that expensive. And, you know, so I've had some. I like just the fan, kind of the white noise sound. I know some of these. So some of these noisemakers will also sound, and you can hear frogs in the background or the ocean or something like that. But I think just like that high white noise sounds really perfect. But I think we're going to continue on some more thoughts about fireworks and helping our pets. So, and Dave, your name is Dave, too. How are you?
Good. I'm Dave number one. No, I'm not Dave two.
Okay.
Hey, anybody who takes their dogs to a fireworks display?
Yeah.
You're giving the dog PTSD.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah. No, I that's why, hopefully that's how I started this off. Never, ever.
You have to be so moronic to do that. It's not even funny.
But I see it, and you must see it too, and I don't understand. And I think that's where...
I've been in the military. I've seen it in people. I might have a little bit of it myself, but I'm telling you right now, if you do that to an animal, mm-hmm. you're an idiot.
Yeah. See, I'm a little bit more gentle. I think sometimes it's just a matter of people not knowing, especially so many people have gotten pets for the first time.
Okay. Hold on. You can't sit there and say people not knowing. Okay. So when you walk down the street and you hear something go off and it's a loud bang, what do?
Right.
Your whole body goes into, what the hell was that?
I agree. I agree with that.
And you're 55 times in 1 hour.
I know. And the same thing
we use. It's not good for anybody.
Well, you even hear
animal or man or woman.
So, Dave, are you saying you do not enjoy fireworks yourself? Does it not feel comfortable for you? Is that what you're saying? I'm not getting the intense.
I don't go to them.
Okay. All right.
I don't search them out.
Well, I
hear them. Yeah. I just sit there and listen. I just sit in my apartment and listen to them.
Well, I know sometimes youngsters and babies, you see how they react. But again, the animals, it's fright and flight. That's what animals, that's what their makeup is. And they hear something, so they're going to run away. And they, so many times, we see the injuries that come into our emergency hospitals from nights like this. So I agree with you. But part of bringing this up as a topic is to educate. I think, again, ignorance is not always people's fault. Yes, they may not think things through, but that's why we're going to try to like start with the basics here. So I appreciate that. And again, you're reinforcing the fact, don't put them in the car. Don't bring them with you. And I have gone up to people.
If you take an animal to a fireworks show and expect them to be okay after that, you're a moron.
Your point is well taken. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate it.
Have a happy day.
Okay, bye-bye now. Yes, I mean, my passion is just as strong as Dave, number one, as he said. My passion is there. I just have a little bit different approach. I think sometimes, again, honey attracts a little bit more, but he is right. And there is the, once this happens, and it does tend to frighten them forever. And it's very hard to overcome and to make these pets relaxed again. And even my own, you know, we got our dog when he was 8 months old, and he came with a lot of this baggage. I think someone else wants to know, call in too about this. But he came in at 8 months old. He was left outside in Missouri somewhere. And so there are certain fears that he had being tied outside for the first 8 months of his life that I can't overcome now. He doesn't want to walk during the day. I can see his fear because I can actually see his heartbeat uncontrollably when he becomes frightened. We do medication to try to help him. But again, Dave's point is right on the money with this, and that, you know, let's not even expose them to him. Keep them home. Please keep them home. And again, as I was saying, we have a little bit more conversation on the fireworks, and I love this. Again, I love this, the fact that the ideas. Hey, Laurel.
Oh, yeah.
How are you?
I am good. Just a little bit of an extra on that.
Yeah.
I hate fireworks. I hate thunderstorms, but I hate fireworks.
Okay.
And all my, even as a kid, I would go, and my parents would bring me, and then I'd go, after the first one, let's go home.
Yeah.
So sometimes, but when I had animals, I tried to keep it, like thunder and everything like that, I tried to keep myself calm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, we figured out why I don't like fireworks. I am old. I am over 70. When I was 10 days old, somebody leaned in to take a picture of me, and the flash camera exploded.
Oh, my gosh. Ugh.
So if you think that anything in an animal cannot be something that was imprinted on them in an early age, including a person,
mm-hmm.
it can.
Yeah, right.
It took me a long time to finally figure it out when I talked to my mother about it. And she goes, oh, yeah, I wonder if that had anything to do with it.
Oh, my gosh, exploded. That's quite a relationship there.
Yeah, so think about that. And then sometimes animals are okay, and then if you weren't home one day and the thunderstorm came off and something also bad happened, an animal that was okay for 2 or 3 years all of a sudden isn't okay anymore.
Right, right. I've seen that. That's a good point. And then I remember my own, one of my previous dogs, she started when she was about 3-4 years old becoming very frightened about thunderstorms, and it lasted until she lost her hearing, her sense of hearing. And then it was like, okay, now no thunderstorms. But now, do I have it right? Is Newington going to have their summer days? Is that coming up?
I live about 2 miles from Mill Pond where they do it.
Right.
That's not so bad. I can stay outside even and look.
Right.
My animals, it doesn't, but I don't know enough about that. I work all the time. What are you talking about?
Well, the point is that, you know, again, it's not just the 4th of July. All summer long, these towns are having their different kind of festivals. New London is tonight. So, I thought I would just ask you about my grandparents grew up in, I kind of semi grew up in Newington, so I feel like I know it well.
Well, so did I. You know, and I'm still working, and I work for
a veterinarian
practice, too. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Isn't it the best? I mean, and I've got to go to news, but.
Hard.
It's hard work, but it's very it makes your days worthwhile,
that's why I keep on working when I'm 71 years old.
Good for you, Laurel.
And I mean, I worked for another practice for 26 years, and the front desk the last 2 years during the pandemic was horrible.
I know.
People yelling at you, people screaming at you.
Well, we're going to keep smiling, and I got to take my heartbreak for the news.
All right, you do keep doing your good job, too, okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. All right, as promised, we are going to go to news. We'll be right back.
Here we come.
Mom, Dad, I'm not throwing shade, but the whole New Year's resolution thing, kind of slipping, no offense. Anyway, my best friend Jenny's dad, crushing it. He uses Blue Apron. He says he ordered one pan assemble and bake meals and these things called meal kits. They're all super easy to make. He keeps yelling, protein and fiber, baby. Also, the food, we tried it. So good. So maybe you check it out or whatever. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first 2 orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Walk down the street, we get the funniest looks from everyone we meet.
Hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
We go where we want to.
Tom, I know you're a lot younger than I am. Do you know this song? No? I was afraid of that. There are some people out there in the audience, the listening audience, that do. I was going to touch on monkeypox. I was thinking about that we would be doing it around this segment of the break. But the fireworks conversation took off, so I am going to mention and talk a little bit about monkeypox a little bit later in the show. That was going to tie into our music coming back, and I was thanking Justin Levine, who provides our music, our bumper music. But that was the monkeys that were singing that song. It's an oldie, but goodie. I am Dr. Andrea Dennis, and welcome back to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. We have had a lively Saturday here. And I just want to talk about a couple of things jumping off some of the conversation. First, I do not want to forget Laurel, who is over 70 years old, still working in veterinary medicine. And she was, you know, ending the conversation about how hard things have been, and they have. I am eternally grateful for my staff. They have shown unrelentless, patience. I think everyone, we work in the veterinary field because we absolutely do love it, but we work hard. And again, from learning how to, when COVID started, you know, over 2 years ago, learning how to provide excellent service while doing it curbside was a challenge. Keeping your staff healthy, making sure we still wear masks inside. We have to. If one person gets sick, then everything gets turned upside down. So you know, again, it's hard, but we all still are still thankful every day that I get to do what I do. But thank people like Laurel that continue to work. And again, my staff has been incredible. So if you're looking for a change in careers at this point in time, you know, think about veterinary technician. Think about a veterinary receptionist. If you have a little medical background in terms of working in a doctor's office and you're thinking you want to do something a little different, I know we're looking for a exceptional receptionist. We're looking for someone that just kind of is something they always wanted to work with animals. They may not feel that comfortable, but you know, if you have some medical background, give us a call at the Bloomfield Animal Hospital. I think that we would, we definitely have a couple of places for people to find employment. And I love working in there, so I would think everybody else would love working there. So that's my own prejudice as well. The other thing that I wanted to jump on was going back to the fireworks and the fact that some of these animals will just rip their collars off if you have them on a leash and you're taking them to a festival, which we said do not do. They run out of the house, they get away, you let them go out to go to the bathroom, and I would never do that as a dog without having them on a leash, because you never know when something is going to go off in the back when they run away. And then you don't know what's happened to them. Please, if you can, have your dogs and cats microchipped. We do it in a painless manner. It is a permanent identification. It is not an expensive way of identifying. I do want to clarify, it is not a tracker for your pets, but what this microchip does, and it's a very small little tiny capsule that goes underneath the skin, that the number that will come up when it's scanned will go to your information, your personal information, how you should be contacted if this pet is found. And every veterinary hospital has one of these scanners. Every police department, animal control officer has it. So it's a universal system. The stories that you will hear about how dogs are being reunited. I think this past week there was, of course, I was watching it on the news and started crying because it was a dog that was missing from 2010. And the dog was just in horrific condition when it was found. But the original owner from 2010, even though the dog was just found and this dog looked emaciated, it was weak, they traveled over 1,000 miles to come and get this dog that wasn't originally theirs and was missing since it was 6 months of age. And the whole way they were connected or reconnected was through this microchip. Okay. And I usually tell people when they put your personal information, when you have to fill out the forms, once your dog or cat is microchipped, put your cell phone down, because some of us move, some of us, you know, again, have different home numbers, but the cell phone generally does not change, but make sure that's the phone number you want to put down for contacting them. So just wanted to make sure that you were aware of doing that with a microchip, and that really helps during this time as well. So as promised, I've had a lot of calls going on about about monkeypox and what people are concerned about there. Okay, first of all, the first time it was mentioned, it was actually a phone call here. It was actually a phone call where people were concerned about, you know, whether pets could get monkeypox. And it was, at that time, there were only 10 states in the United States that actually had sort of reported cases. Since then, it looks like there's over 35 states in the U.S. that have reported cases. And just looking at the numbers from the CDC, just quickly scanning, California is by far the number one state with 136 cases. We actually have three here in Connecticut that have been reported. I take that back. New York has 153, but it's spreading. And I'm not here to kind of talk about the specific human concerns in terms of how it's spreading. I don't necessarily understand it. Sometimes people are saying we're not paying enough attention to it. I really don't know. I'm going to leave that for healthy rounds to discuss. Where I'm coming in is that more cases are being identified. More states are seeing it. So what about our pets? How concerned do we have to be about our pets? And at this point in time, we have not had any confirmed cases of monkeypox from dogs, from people to dogs. And I think also, I feel better now. Looks like Joe's calling. He's got some concerns about microchips, so we'll be talking to him. All right, Joe, you hang in there. But I think that please try to relax about this. I think if you do have a case of monkeypox, you don't want your pet on your lap. You do not want to touch them. We talked about this during COVID, too. Try not to make that contact, even though we do not see these cases happening. We do know that other warm-blooded mammals can get it. So prairie dogs are one of the ones, one of the sort of the species that we know can get monkeypox. And we just want to make sure our pets are safe and then in terms of transmission. But at this point in time, we do not see it as a major concern, but let's be smart. You know, and again, I don't assume that people know what to do. I know, same thing with COVID. When I would tell people, listen, when you're sick, do not have your Max or whatever the name of your dog is or cat on your lap. Just try, but people didn't really quite see that. So let's try to do the same thing with monkeypox as well. Let's kind of be safe with that. Okay. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Hello.
Hi there, Joe.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Now, I'm doing everything right on my end. You can hear him, right, Tom? I don't know what he's doing. Okay, I'm going to have
to... I'm here.
All right. I was going to hang up on you.
No, I was here for the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Now, you mentioned microchips. I just want to let people know.
Uh-huh.
Usually you use it home again, right?
Yep.
The microchip by the AKC, reunite it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you have a home again chip, if you register that chip with AKC,
yeah,
for $20, roughly $20 for life, you get poison control.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And also roughly for $20 for life, you get, if the dog's lost, they'll send out emails and all that stuff.
Nice. You know,
with mm-hmm. Home Again, it's roughly $20 a year.
Right.
They were the same company, but they split because they went profit Home Again and whatever, you know, the nonprofit AKC. And I have a microchip from AKC. I ordered it, and they shipped it to my house, and my vet put it in. And even she says, just, it went in nicely. But even if you already have Home Again,
yeah,
you could just call them up. I think it's a one-time fee of like $35, but then you get that for life, poison control. I already used poison control a few times. So.
That's really good information. And again, I kind of lit that my front desk staff kind of keep up with that. So how do you spell that's reunite?
It's by AKC.
Right.
Reunite it. It's the AKC chip.
Okay.
We're the same company. Home Again went profit. They stood nonprofit.
Right. Okay. I'm going to look that up. So that's really good to know because, again, you have the permanent, once you register, that it's that should be for life. Even with the Home Again, that in terms of if your pet gets lost, they're still going to reconnect you. But what you're saying is that you get this extra, the pet, for a one-time fee.
For one-time fee of 20 bucks, you get poison control for life. And for another $20, Home Again sends out flyers, whatever, email blast,
right.
If your dog's lost. They do that for life.
Okay.
And even if you have Home Again chip in your dog, if you call them up, I think it's whatever the price is, $30, $35 might be less. You register that trip with them, and then you can buy those other features for $20 for life. I don't have to tell you, because my understanding is sometimes if you call up a veterinarian, dog ate something, a lot of times they'll say, call poison control.
Right.
You know, so your shit was at $60. What do you have to call poison?
Oh yeah, I mean poison, and I mean one of them is over like $95 now.
Yeah,
it's quite expensive. No, that's excellent. So, I got it. I've just Googled it, so I have it. I'm going to do a little bit more research on that. Again, I always like learning new things. So and the key thing here is even though if the chip was Home Again, you can switch over the registration one time.
Yes.
That's really good, excellent information. You always have good information.
I know. It's
You're
my
right?
passion. But another thing too, though. People to tell them you might do it already, but other people that go to other vets, tell them tell them to scan for the chip, because sometimes I don't have to tell you, it can migrate.
It does, and I and we do that. You know, again, we're seeing more new patients all the time, and we do every new patient we always microchip them. About 3 weeks ago, we found a dog that had two microchips in it. But that is something that we do. And the other thing, too, is we probably could be a little bit better about doing it during every annual physical exam with our own patients.
I forgot. I should have mentioned it. When I went, I just had, what was it, June or May?
Yeah.
When I had it, I should have told them just to scan it.
Yeah.
I guess I could go walk by there and tell them to do it.
Yeah, so. But and also, too, I mean, we're happy to do that, too. We've had people bring in their own chips. And we've gone ahead and placed it. I just brought up online, it says lifetime enrollment is only $19.50. That's good. That is excellent information. Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much, and I'll talk to you next time.
Take care. Be safe.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye. You know, with Joe ending in such a good manner, why don't we take our last break of the day, Tom, okay? And then we'll come back. I still have time for more questions. Please give it a call. You're listening to Pet Talk.
To the heart, I never kissed a mouth that tastes like yours. Strawberries and something more. Ooh yeah, I want it all. Lipstick on my guitar.
Tom, you know this song, right? Okay, good. I don't feel so bad. Welcome back. You're listening to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital. And listen, if you did not have a chance to call in, you're sitting by, the beach, or it's just not a good situation, you're in the car. You know, I have a website, we have a website that we, you can easily contact us. It's Bloomfield Animal Hospital CT. .com. That's Bloomfield Animal Hospital CT.com. We've got quite a bit of information about taking care of your pets, what to do if your animal is skunked in the middle of the night. There's a nice little recipe of how to get rid of that, along with a lot of other information. We even have some links to some of our old shows that we have done. So you can even a podcast, I guess, so to speak, of some of the shows that we've done here, as well as I am a regular guest on WFSB Channel 3 and talking about your pets there. So there was some links there, too, about seeing some of our shows. This is our last 10 minutes. So if you have a quick question or you want something you just want to throw out there, give me a call at 860-522-9842 or 1-800-966-9842. I just don't want to ignore a group of pets that I know some of you have, and I don't have a comfort level, so I guess that's why I don't really talk about, you know, mice and rats, and I know some people have pet rats or pet rodents, but one of the things when we were talking about the monkeypox, you know, I did mention the fact that it is a good idea. Even the CDC is recommending anybody that does have a case of monkeypox, just temporarily, either remove your pets from their home if you can, but at least do not engage with them if you can have somebody else take care of them. But there is evidence that the disease can spread a little bit easier to rodents. And both the CDC and the European CDC both say that it's best just to avoid contact with them. But there is that capability, you know, based on the susceptibility and some of the studies that show that rodent species are more likely to be susceptible rather than dogs and cats. And we really haven't shown that dogs and cats are an issue. But again, I think this whole monkeypox issue, we're learning more every day. I can talk to you about what we're learning about COVID as well every day. So some of these new infectious diseases are reappearing infectious diseases, we don't know everything. And we're just going to try to do our best keeping that information up to date. So if you have those little rodents in the home, be a little extra careful on that, okay? Since we have a moment, and right now I have no phone calls, it is the open lines are free. I have had a couple of people call in too. We were talking about, Joe was mentioning pet poison control, and the ASPCA also has, they have their poison control. And it's something that there are specialists now that just talk about toxicity, and so many times I'm here on the show talking about what not to do, what not to expose your animals to, but I try to time that, those suggestions, with the time of year. And sunscreen in particular is something that I'm getting a lot of calls about. It's one of those items that the Animal Poison Control Center, they get regular calls on this, especially in the summer. And if you read the back of a container of sunscreen, you know it can contain many different ingredients. Generally, the primary reported issue for pets who have ingested sunscreen is they get GI upsets, especially those with severe and bloody diarrhea, vomiting, and they get really dehydrated pretty badly. The two ingredients that primarily are the most dangerous, and I want you to kind of remember this, and it's all about reading labels, right? It's all about reading labels. I don't know if someone's calling about 4th of July or we're going to do the sunscreen, but the two primary ingredients you should know about are salicylates and zinc oxide. You want to avoid those if you're thinking about putting anything ever on your pet, which I would always talk to your veterinarian about that. But if you have the sunscreen in your purse or your beach bag and the beach bag is down on the ground and then you feel that you all of a sudden the tube of sunscreen is just all over the place, you have to at least let them know the name of the product that you have or your pet has gotten into, so our emergency hospital know how to deal with it. And that's salicylates and zinc oxide. So I try to stay away from even bringing those sunscreens that have those ingredients into my home. Just to be, my cat will nibble on anything that she finds on the counter, anything. So with that being said, let's be a little smart about our sunscreen. Know that if your pet gets into it, you have to do a call. And if we can avoid even buying it, that's even better. That's even better. So I think what I'm going to do is try to, again, I always try to get as many calls in as possible. So I'm not sure I have the whole picture on this, but I'm going to let Lisa tell me her case. How are you today, Lisa?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, how are things in your car? It sounds like you're in your car.
I am, but I always listen to you when I can.
Thank you.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay, for sure.
I have a big problem, and I don't know how to solve it. I had dogs all my life, rescues and everything, and I've never had this problem. I have a dog that I bring everywhere with me. I have lupus and other things, and she is my Zoloft.
Okay, got
it. And my older dog right now is getting older, and I just, not to replace her, but I just said, you know, my husband, I need to get a smaller dog that I could take with me.
Sure.
He got me a little Chihuahua, which I have now is a long-haired Chihuahua. He got me a little long-haired Chihuahua after looking at rescues and stuff, couldn't find any. She's like the perfect little girl. And then at 4 months after she was spayed, a little bit before she was spayed, she could turn Jekyll and Hyde like Sybil.
Oh.
So I'll be petting her on her back and everything, and all of a sudden she'll turn around, look at me, her eyes will go sideways, her ears will go back, and she will lunge at me. Oh. I have cuts from her that keep bleeding. I have scars. But then, you know, she's perfectly fine.
Right.
And I brought her to a trainer. She's like, oh, she's just a puppy, blah, blah, blah. And I talked to a doctor, and she said maybe she has to go on Prozac. I have the bottle of Prozac. I got it filled, but I'm very afraid to give it to her. She's just 4 pounds, but she packs a punch when she bites.
Yeah, and you have to be so careful with your autoimmune condition. So, yeah.
Exactly. I was septic already.
Yeah.
And she has possessive, and she's... she takes tantrums. It's almost like a tantrum, and she's trying to be top dog, I think, because I have two other dogs and a cat.
Right.
I think she's trying to, you know, be top dog or something, even over me and my husband. I don't know what to do.
Right, but these attacks tend to happen when you're holding her. She doesn't, like, just attack your ankles as you're walking.
No.
Okay.
No. It's actually when she's on the couch next to me, and I love to pick up my dogs. They give me such comfort. I just hold her, and I feel so good.
I can hold her,
and I never know when she's going to turn.
Right. You know, what I would suggest, because I don't have all the answers, I do think that there's going to, the sounding by the severity of her reaction, it is going to be some sort of behavior modification in terms of the training part of it, but also some medicinal side. I'm sure your veterinarian with the Prozac dosed it appropriately for your size dog. There's other medications too, but what I always suggest is doing both at the same time, not just let's do the drugs and see what happens. I think I really love the Tufts Behavioral Center, and there is a waiting list, Lisa, but it sounds like you are sort of committed to trying to make this relationship work, if I'm getting hearing in between the lines here, right?
I am. I'm trying not to put her on medicine. I swear I'm doing my best. And you know what? When she does wrong, I used to say, get in your bed. Now, after she does that, she flies in her bed for punishment. And I hate to use that, but
right. She
flies and gets in her bed and starts barking at me viciously.
Yeah.
I can't believe how vicious she could be.
Right. And the only thing that ever put me in the hospital was a cat bite. A little kitten bit me. And that's the only thing that, and I have been kicked on by horses, kicked by cows. I mean, but that was the only thing that was life threatening. And because the mouth.
Scratch?
Yeah. Exactly. So the Pastorella was just so intense. So 3 days IV antibiotics. So I don't, bite wounds are taken so seriously. And I have other dogs that need some behavior training. And I'll say, yeah, let's go work with a trainer. But I am telling you, this is like my red alert is going off. And I really want you to reach out to Tufts. And your own veterinarian will help. There's like they want a whole medical history. Now with Zoom, that you could set something up where you don't have to drive up. It's in Grafton, Mass. And again, there is a waiting list. But I think this urgency and the fact that you do have an autoimmune disease, I would have your veterinarian advocate for you and say, listen, we need help, because they can prescribe things, but at the same time, they will make a whole list of things that you're going to do at home with the behavior side of things. Okay.
Yes. And I don't hit her either. I don't. Hit
oh,
her.
I know.
I
yeah. No, I know that.
Although,
I know that you're tempted. I mean, you could throw her, right?
Yes,
you would never do that. But, you know, she's small. I know.
I
know. But you have to be safe. So if you aren't getting all the information right now, because I have to end the show now, just either give me a call at the hospital. But it's Tufts Veterinary School, and they have a strong behavior department. Okay.
Tufts Veterinary School.
Right.
I will tell
right.
them. Now, where is that? In Connecticut?
It's in Grafton, Mass. It's in Grafton, Mass. Listen, I'm going to put you on hold, all right? And I'll get you the information.
Okay.
I don't want you to feel rushed, but I really have to go. And I want to thank Tom, my producer, for making sure that the show runs as well as it does. And we're going to see you next time. I'll be back in 2 weeks. I promise. Bye-bye.